just before I get my act together, I just had an overwhelming feeling of love towards you. And by that, I'm looking at every member of this congregation, all of whom I know by name, and with whom we have worshipped over the last 3 years since we arrived here. And we may think we're a small number here today. In some ways we are, but in other ways we're not. But you're very precious, and we're so precious Sunday by Sunday, as well as others who join us on occasion, just to be the worshiping community here in the Itchen Valley together. And it's just a privilege to be in this beautiful church with some beautiful people. So thank you so much for being here today, and let's continue to hear the Lord speaking to us. We are going to hear just from John's Gospel, that passage. Elizabeth, thank you so much for reading it to us. John's Gospel, sometimes a little bit difficult, but sometimes very good just to ponder and to hear the words. And there is that text from Jesus. It's the top one-liner. There it is. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus said to them. Where is Jesus and who is he speaking to? Well, it's been the feeding of the 5,000 earlier in the day, or perhaps the previous day. Then there's been the walking on the water, and Jesus is surprisingly back in Capernaum. And he's in the synagogue, and the crowd which was over there feeding the 5,000, who rushed over there to that, are now rushed back because they want to continue to ask him some questions about what he said and what he did. Feeding 5,000, how did you do it? Who are you? What's your agenda? And we want some more. And you'll notice some verses are missing out, between verse 36 and 40. And before that, also some discussions, an ongoing discussion of which we have just a little section today. And they're saying, we want some more. We want to know what's going on. Who are you? And into that, Jesus says, "I am." And stop there, because in Jewish thought, "I am" is the name of God. Who is this person who's saying, "I am"? And he says, "I am the bread of life." Well, what on earth does that mean? "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It's a bit of a mixed metaphor there. Hunger for bread, thirsty for water. And Jesus has already spoken to the Samaritan woman when she was on her own with Jesus. He said, "I'm the living water." And now talking to this Jewish group, mainly of men, actually, who rushed backwards and forwards from the feeding of the 5,000. There he says publicly, "I am the bread of life, living bread and living water." Together, bread and water, the staple diet of the time. And Jesus is saying, "I am the essential ingredient of your life, and you didn't know it. Whoever eats and drinks me, as it were, has all the bread and water they will ever need." What do you make of this incredible one-liner? Jesus is claiming to be the essential ingredient in life. There are some cultures where bread is not eaten, and the Bible translators don't know what to do with this. "I am the soya of life," or something they have to use to try and give an equivalent. But for us, we can understand how bread could be thought of as the staple of life. And Jesus is saying, "I am the essential ingredient. I am the bread. I am the water." This is one man saying in one sentence, "I am the one thing that you need more than anything else. If you come to me, you will come alive. If you don't come to me, you might die." What do we make of this? In particular, who does Jesus think he is? And what's the basis for Jesus' claim that he has the capacity, the ability to bring us life? Who is he? And what is he able to do us? What's the result of believing in him? Identity of Jesus, and what's the consequence of believing in him? And these two issues of Jesus' identity and the results or the consequence of if we were to believe in him, what it means, these two questions hang over all this discussion throughout John chapter 6, of which we have a part. And in those verses that Jerry will have preached on perhaps last week, John verses 36 to 40, which are not in our passage today, Jesus expanded on both his identity and the consequences. He said, "As for who I am, I have come down from heaven," which is a Jewish way of saying from God. "I've come down from heaven. And consequences, on the last day, I will raise people who believe in me from the dead and give them eternal life. That's what he's been saying in the verses not printed for us today. Who is Jesus? He's saying he's come uniquely from God. What's he able to do? He is able to raise people on the last day, to find a corpse and to cause it to be raised. Well, that should leave us, as it certainly left them, reeling and questioning. What on earth is this? What a strange saying. Do we believe it? And then verses 41 to 42, perhaps cast your eye down, we see Jesus, the leaders around him, they begin to complain about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they were saying, isn't this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Actually, Jesus was the son of God and was placed, as it were, mysteriously, miraculously in Mary's womb. We'll come back to that in December. We'll look at it endlessly, the virgin birth. But they don't know that. And they just think, well, he's an ordinary person from around here. We know the father and mother. How can he now say he came down from heaven? So there's a big grumbling about the idea that Jesus, might have come down from heaven, from God. Jesus actually answers in slightly oblique way in verses 43 to 47. But I just want to pick up two phrases, one in verse 44, where he looks at the consequences. I will raise that person up on the last day. And verse 47, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. Jesus, twice in these few verses, focuses on the consequences of believing in him. He restates his claim to be the one who can bring eternal life and bring people to life on the last day. And so he gets to verse 48, I am the bread of life. Six words in Greek, six words in English. It's not the shortest verse in the Bible. That's in John 11. Jesus wept, just two words. But here, six words making up one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Now, this last week, Georgie and I were introduced to a new game. I'm sure you've heard of Wordle, have you? Yes. There's also a game called Worldle, where you can work out little bits of geography. But Wordle, you're working out five-letter words. Well, there's now a thing called Versal, isn't it? That's right, Versal. We were introduced to this last week when we went away for our godson's wedding. And yes, you're given a text from the Bible and you have six guesses to try and get it on the nail, get the right verse as well. And it's quite fun. And we're currently on 100%, aren't we? And that's all because George is such an expert on the Bible. So we're up to 100%. And anyway, but here's your versal for the day. And if we were in Africa, we would recite it out loud, and that's what we're going to do. And it goes like this. I am the bread of life, John 6, 48. All even numbers, notice. So easy to remember. So here we go. I am the bread of life, John 6, 48. It's a very good class, but that will help you when you have that verse comes up in the next, how many, 100,000 options of verses that might come up. When it comes up, you'll know the answer. John 6, 48, and you get all green letters will come up and numbers. How about that? John 6, 48, but write it on your fridge. I am the bread of life. Actually, it's a good place to put it, actually, on the fridge. Yes, you don't need what's inside the fridge necessarily as much as you need Jesus. I am the bread of life. Or you could actually reduce it to what three words? I, bread, life. I, equal sign, bread, arrow, life. I, equal, bread, arrow, life. Done. One verse of the Bible. And one verse. Oh, we have so many words in our newspapers. How many words are there in a weekend newspaper? 60,000? I don't know. Mail on Sunday, how many words? I don't know. Six words from Jesus outmatch them all. Jesus expands and then explains this a little bit more. He compares it with the issue of manna. You remember that story of Moses? We're looking here at verse 49. Moses and the coming of manna to the Israelites in the desert. An incredible miracle to feed God's people at that time, a great vulnerability. And Jesus says, well, yes, that came and Moses was able to call that down from God, but the people in the desert eventually died. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this is the bread I'm talking about, verse 50, that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. And so we have this teaching that Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to come to him, is to actually not physically die, or at least it deals with the problem of physically dying. He says, after you physically die, I will be able to raise you to newness of life. So let me just pause and try and summarise that up in one sort of short paragraph, one sort of sentence. Jesus has used different verbs here to describe how we need to respond to him. In verse 40, he said you need to look to the Son of God. In other verses, he's talked about coming to him. Other verses about believing in him. And in verse 51, he says, whoever eats of this bread, he talks about eating him. These are all different verbs, different ways of saying, look, if you look to me, says Jesus, if you come to me, if you believe in me, if you eat me, you will have life. And I will be able to raise you up on the last day. If you find yourself not fully convinced of this, left with a few questions, well, that may not be a bad thing, because the people at that time also had questions. They couldn't just take this lying down. This was, in one sense, so offensive. He thinks he's the bread of life. He thinks that he can raise us even when we die. Who does he think he is? Notice the word complain is in our text. They complained about it. They didn't like it. And after this passage, even some of the wider group of the disciples say, we can't take this. Who can accept this? And he looks at the 12 disciples and say, are you going to walk away too? So it is an important saying. We shouldn't just take it, oh, it's an easy thing. And if you find it actually a bit difficult to agree with this, well, let me just encourage you to really ponder this short sentence. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am what you need. I'm going to gently give you 4 weeks. 4 weeks today, this church is going to be full. We're going to have 60 to 80 guests coming to join us for two baptisms, what's not to like, of two children, one from near us and one from 100 yards away. And they're going to be parents and godparents declaring their faith, their turning to Christ, their rejection of evil. And we're going to be coming there to support them and say, we believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Come to church on that day and support them in that. And see if you also, by coming to worship again, come to say, yes, this is what I believe. And if even after that you think, I'm not too sure I do, then come and talk to me. I won't bite you. I'm very nice and approachable. If you've got a little question, come and ask me. One of the greatest joys of the last few months, I've been into several people's homes for a one-to-one conversation and just been able to answer a question which has been niggling them for years. They never had a chance to talk it through with someone. And the light bulbs have gone on. So if you want a conversation, I'm here. I don't know all the answers, but he does. And I just love to help you. If there's something just niggling away and makes you can't quite say yes in the way that you want to what Jesus is saying, then the invitation is there. The rector's only a phone call away, if you dare to ask him into your home, that is. But for many of us, we can accept this and we don't find that too difficult. And therefore, to you, I just want to encourage you. If you are someone who has come to Christ, believed in him, what he says to you is, I will raise you up at the last day. I saw my sister dead on a bed in March. It's there in my mind. But she went to her grave trusting that Jesus meant what he said. I will raise you up on the last day. She said to me, I'm like the gurus that my Indian friends, my friend who's gone over to India, are following. Jesus is alive, isn't he? And she smiled as she said that. So I just want to encourage you. None of us want to be there on the day we die, as Woody Allen said. I don't mind dying, but I don't want to be there when it happens. None of us want to be there, but we will all be there. But the good news is Jesus will be there too. I just want to encourage you to feed on that truth today and to go into the rest of your life just with a confidence that Jesus will be there at that moment when you need him most, and he is worth living for even now as we prepare for that day. Let's just keep a moment of quiet as we all pray together and hear the words again of Jesus, I am the bread of life, and also I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. Whoever believes in me will never die. Let's close by saying our Bible verse together with the reference as well, declaring with faith. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6:48. Is that right? John, I believe you're going to come and lead us in our prayers. Thank you so much.